My name is Sean Knowlton. I'm the librarian for digital scholarship here at Tulane University. I'm 51 years old. I've been a librarian for 20 plus years, and I currently head a department called Digital Scholarship and Initiatives, which oversees the digital library and other digital initiatives, theses and dissertations archive, an online journals platform, an online exhibits platform. And in my capacity as digital scholarship librarian, I work with faculty and students to support their digital interests, whether they want to create exhibits, make timelines, do digital text analysis. And so I will do consultations, workshops, and library instruction sessions. And as head of this department, I support the folks who really are hands-on with the digital libraries. I've been a librarian for a long time, and during that time, I started out as a research instructional librarian, a reference librarian at a service desk with real reference books behind the scenes and answering questions, and became a Latin Americanist librarian, so collection development, liaison work with Spanish and Portuguese departments, Latin American studies, and I did that for quite a while at Colorado, here at Tulane, and then at Columbia University. And back here at Tulane, my most recent incarnation, I came back to be a generalist, a humanities librarian with collection duties with art, architecture, philosophy, and a few other areas over time, and eventually found my way into the digital scholarship realm and then up to a supervisor position.
As you were listening, and maybe also as you were, reading Wikipedia and whatever you were reading, were you finding connections to library work?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So he is looking at, sometimes people think like, oh, why are you studying that? That was 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Why don't you look at something new? And you still have the ability to look at something old and gain new information from it because you benefit from distance, from time, from a new perspective, or now you have technology to ask questions you couldn't ask before. So, and that's what the digital libraries, what Wikipedia and other democratized, access information sources are available to do. We can ask new questions of old material. You get new understanding, new perspectives. And I think about, say, the Tulane University's digital library. So Tulane University in New Orleans, Louisiana. New Orleans and Louisiana has a very certain history with slavery, with inequality, mostly based on race. And our collections reflect the history of the city. So we have Civil War letters, we have plantation records, well, records of papers of famous men, mostly well-known men in society, ledgers of plantations. These are not things that we necessarily want to digitize now. We want to tell other stories, but these things exist, and we can tell new stories with those that maybe that wasn't intended before. So that ledger will allow you to understand how people were oppressed and their labor was exploited. Whereas back in the day, the ledger just kept the business and made it legal, but also as a way to kind of show off of like, hey, this is how I became rich and famous. But now we can tell different stories by asking different questions of it.
I hear you talking a lot about storytelling, which I think is like it really resonant with oral history as a practice. And also like kind of funny because I don't think Benji explicitly talked about storytelling at all. But I think he's talking about it sort of implicitly. Could you tell me more about why storytelling is kind of a cosmic practice in libraries?
Oh, yeah. So digital libraries are fairly stale. They're just like a collection of objects put together. Maybe there's a paragraph that describes a collection, and there's metadata associated with each thing, but it's presented in a very sterile environment. And so we have say a wonderful image with shows humanity, and then we have things like creation date, title, subjects, African Americans, playgrounds, useful words, but not it's not really telling a story. We don't know necessarily about the photographer. We have to figure out like who took this picture, who are the people in it, what's the story behind it, and maybe there's some description there. It's just the raw material. I see the items in a digital library as like raw material for something else. And as a digital scholarship librarian, I offer workshops on digital storytelling because that's where the fun is, where a timeline to talk about a concept over time using images and text, or to create a story map, like an ArcGIS story map or a Night Lab story map, where you use multimedia and text to tell the story, or our online exhibits platform, which is on WordPress, where, you know, each form and then the format of what tool you're using, you're going to tell a different story based on what's available to you. This one is great with images. This one's great with text, and so forth. And so that's where I think, at least in the assignments that come alive. And I've seen some really great exhibits where people are interested in telling stories with things that are from a digital library collection or just from elsewhere. And that's where the real excitement is. Everything else is just, it's great, it's preserved, it's described, it's discoverable, it's accessible. We've made transcripts. We've made them 99% accurate through human editing. So it meets accessibility standards. But it doesn't mean anything until people ask questions of it and interrogate that information and take two things and put them together and tell something new. And yeah, so the storytelling part is, I think, the real work. I mean, it's all part of the real work. So someone took the items and they create that scholarly record. We either digitize it or we take the born digital content and we give it some context and we preserve it, and then now new things can happen with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of, I'm scrolling down on Benji's transcript because you're kind of describing what he describes of the pathways in and out of collections. You mentioned a hypothetical user earlier that I immediately fell in love with, which is the user who is searching for information about, you know, old Mardi Gras costumes to design their new Mardi Gras costume. In an ideal world, like, what would that person experience? Assuming they had like no affiliation with the university, they're just, you know, getting ready for Mardi Gras. How could they have a great cosmic library experience through digital libraries?
Yeah, so this happens. I mean, this happens plenty. There's plenty of folks. Those images are shared widely. They're really cool. So basically, these are drawings of floats and costumes from like the 1890s. And there's thousands of these. I think there's over 5,000 images that have been digitized. And they are very inspirational. Like, look at this great costume. A person's dressed up as a grasshopper or as some of them are, you know, maybe not as racially or culturally sensitive as they could be now. But there's lots of great inspiration there. People are always looking for costumes. They're always looking for ideas. It is definitely the most popular collection that we have. And because it is, it's fun, it's exciting. It can have an educational mission, but also can have just a really fun mission. The images are beautiful. The colors are wonderful. I think that's what makes that one definitely so successful. And people discover those, like, I'll be on Reddit and people are talking about New Orleans and talking about Mardi Gras. And they're like, check out these costumes. And they link to the digital library. No, that never happens for regular collections for the most part.
Do you think it's the collection itself, or is there something about the way the collection is presented that makes it shareable?
I think you don't even need any metadata. Most folks aren't like, oh, this is Morpheus or Orpheus or whatever crew it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it was. We have all that metadata that describes it, that this is float 12 and the theme of this float is Grasshopper's Delight, whatever it might be. They just see a really cool, wow, that person's dressed up as a cockroach. That is really cool. I could do that. It's just exciting and inspirational. They see themes that are still present in costuming and it's just exciting when they think about, say, Mardi Gras. And so you can just take an image by itself and not have any context with it and interact with it. I think that's what makes those images so exciting. You don't know who made them or why or what they're really for, but they're just fantastical images.
How do you feel about that? That you can look at them without any context?
I think that's great. I mean, because we've controlled for so long what's important and why it's important in the academic world, and there's a lot of things I personally don't think like, oh, that's not scholarship necessarily, but you can study anything in a scholarly way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be scholarly, as long as the idea of creation. I really like that idea that someone can take something and see something totally different than I do with it and create something new, whether it inspires a restaurant design or a new way of thinking or revitalizes an antiquated term. Yeah, I think as a librarian, my most exciting moments as a reference librarian have been working with those folks who come in and are excited about doing something and not just searching for, well, I'm writing a paper on X topic and I need five sources. These are folks who are like, this is really exciting to me. I'm going to do something totally new and creative with it. That's what I find the most out there. The artist type creation or just seeing things in a new light.